Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. My name is Alyssa Martinez. You will not get the Emily Harris disclaimer this evening. Emily has the evening off. I see that we are a little slow to start today. Not a lot of callers coming in. So I'll give everybody a little update of what's going on right now. Currently, the static kill is set to start next week. Still kind of topsy-turvy on that. We still don't know exactly when they'll do it. Nobody really does. We always get told different stories on that. They collected a total of one barrel today, skimming. They have dispersed so much of the oil that it's actually sunk. We all know this for a long time. We've known this forever. That's what would happen, that they would sink all the oil, and then there would be no more skimming operations. So by no more skimming operations or cleanup of those types of cleanup, we have a multiple issue here. The oil is not only sunk and continuing to poison the water column, poison the seabed and the other aquatic life. We will continue to see that. But the people that are doing the Vessel of Opportunity programs will lose their jobs very quickly. You know, people aren't getting called back. People aren't getting work right now. People aren't getting sent out because they only collected a total of one barrel. These people. So, you know, we've talked and screamed as much as we can about this dispersant. I mean, I quite frankly don't know how much louder we can all yell. We all have yelled to the top of our lungs, to every senator, every, you know, representative that we could all get a hold of, yet we're still not sure of what these dispersants do, even though we have proof from other things. By legislation, we, quote-unquote, don't know what they do. So there's a lot of issues with that. Now, I don't know if you guys have turned on mainstream media today, but there was another well leak. That's right. Another well is leaking, flowing, spewing, 20 feet into the air. It is south of Plaquemines Parish, and the oil, the wellhead was an abandoned wellhead. And what happened is a barge or a tugboat ran over the wellhead. That caused the top of the well, where it was sealed, to become dislodged and is now flowing freely into the Gulf of Mexico. This is not the Deepwater Horizon. They still have yet to release the name of the company that has or owns that well. So, great. So we finally are starting to get the other one somewhat contained. And now we've got another one gushing. Now, they did say that it'll only take a little while to contain because it's in shallow water. It's, you know, it's not very far off. It's not in deep water, but, you know, they also said that this one will only take a week. I'm going to go ahead and bring Greg in. Greg has just called in. Hello, Greg. How are you doing, man?
Hey, how are you guys?
Good, good. I was just informing our listeners about the joyous new well that's leaking.
Yeah.
Just keeps getting better. Have you gotten any updates on that, or have you heard anything else other than it's just a tugboat wellhead leak?
No, that's all I've heard, you know, but
yeah.
You also have one up in Michigan, I think it is as well. Is it Michigan or Minnesota? Somewhere up there.
Michigan. Yeah, it spilled a pipeline leak underground, and they didn't know about it until about at least 840,000 gallons.
Right.
Of oil spilled to the Kalamazoo River. That happened, I think, yesterday afternoon.
Right.
So, you know, we've had, two spills in the last 24, or two leak spills, whatever you want to call them, in the last 24 hours. China.
Oh, and yeah, last week we had China and Australia, so.
Mm-hmm. And now, and then, you know, of course, 100 or so days ago, this one, Deepwater Horizon. Nigeria, the one that happens all the time on a weekly basis. You know, it's getting to the point now, Greg, where I think these oil companies are going to have to stop altogether. I don't care if we have to walk everywhere. But the fact of it is that how more reckless can they be, so blatantly reckless, yet we're not, I mean, besides the people that you talk to and that I talk to, the public outcry is diminished.
Well, until the power of the power over the governments that they control is taken from them, I don't see anything changing, you know, unfortunately. I mean, the native elders have been talking about it for decades. The entire planet is run by corporations, and the majority of those corporations are big oil companies and, you know, drug companies and things like that. So until that's changed, I don't see how we're going to see a change. You know, we started going down this path 100 years ago. We had a choice to go a different direction, and we were allowed to be swayed and actually, you know, in reality, allowed to be lied to by the powers that be in that time.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the automobile was originally designed to run on hemp oil or peanut oil, and every single thing that's made with petroleum could be made from hemp. Hemp resin is a powerful, you know, super plastic-like substance that just about anything can be made from. There's video that you can see on YouTube where Henry Ford actually built an entire automobile made from it, and you can see him trying to chop it up with an axe, and you couldn't even put a dent in it, you know. And if we had gone that route, we would have acres and acres of natural plants growing, putting off oxygen instead of having what we have now, putting off poisonous chemicals into the air and destroying the environment, and the world would be a better place. But
yeah,
as of right now, that's a fairy tale. So
right.
It's not the direction that the world decided to go, and now the world is seeing the price that is paid for going the direction that we went, you know, which we should have never done, obviously.
Right. Well, unfortunately, today in the Senate, I believe, there was a bill to open up donation, their campaign donations, where you can't have a company donate large amounts. Campaign disclosure, it was blocked again and not allowed. Of course it will be.
I mean, when you're allowing the people that are receiving the money to vote on whether or not they want to receive the money, I mean, what do you think the vote's going to be? That's like
right.
asking a guy on death row if he wants to die, you know?
Right.
I mean, it's ludicrous, you know? And
yeah.
It's just, you know, the way that they consistently vote themselves raises, while at the same time voting to increase taxes on the citizens, you know, and
yeah.
In reality, if they vote themselves a raise, then they should vote everyone else in the country a raise of the equal percentage, you know. I mean, it's ridiculous.
I mean,
you guys all know, I mean, I'm Native American and Cajun, and you know, but the ones who founded this country and wrote the Constitution are rolling over in their graves, because this place is nothing like it was intended to be. You know, it's gone so far the other direction, and I don't know what the answer is to rectify it.
Think we have any hope of actually making a change in our country before it is controlled as tightly as the Tea Party is claiming it could be?
I don't know. I mean, you know, we've gone so far down a dark road. I mean, we're in debt for trillions of dollars to foreign governments, and that should have never happened. You know, we continually go into foreign countries to fight wars that we have no business. And at the same time, we don't take care of our own people. You know, why do we have people in our country who don't have medical care? We have people in our country who are starving. We have, you know, homeless people. We have orphans, everything else in our own country. We have areas of our country that are like third world countries, yet we continue to send aid elsewhere and continue to, you know, want to help the whole rest of the world while we're not taking care of what's in our own front yard, you know, and I don't understand that philosophy at all.
No, you're right. And while we're suffering, through the, you know, economic mess from Wall Street and the housing market and all these et cetera, you know, today, BP tried to make it a maneuver to do a $10 billion tax cut, tax credit.
Well, there's no end in sight to the economic issues. I mean, especially here on the Gulf Coast. I mean, since the disaster in the Gulf, there's been drastic drops in property values all along the Gulf Coast. And I don't know about the laws in other states, but in Florida, there really is no recourse, because the way the law reads is that you have to actually have oil touch your property, and then your only recourse is the remediation or the loss in property value, whichever is less.
Right.
So obviously remediation would be less, and obviously people that are inland from the water who have still suffered a property value loss have no recourse whatsoever, because the oil's not touching their property, but at the same time, it has affected their property value, because, you know, people just aren't wanting to buy down here. You know, I had the person who I'm renting from, he had one of his other condos sold to someone, and the guy walked away from the table. It was like a couple of days after those first tar balls were found down here. And the guy said, I can't do it. And really, the price that he was selling at was a bargain basement price. But the guy still walked away from it, you know. And I don't blame him, because who knows what's going to happen down here. I mean, if we did have a major hurricane and the whole area, the whole coast got inundated with oil, I mean, they very, in all likelihood, could come in here just like they did in New Orleans and declare certain areas uninhabitable and make you leave. So, which would, you know, render your property useless and without any value. And that's a pretty big risk for someone to take at this point, you know, not knowing, you know, what could happen, especially considering that we still have through at least November for hurricane season. I mean, last year we had a storm form out there in the first week of December, so you know, who knows. I mean, that water's super hot, and I wouldn't doubt it at all if we had storms all the way up through December this year, because of how hot the water is.
Well, and you know what, August is usually the time. August has always been the time where we've had the most intense hurricanes. Ivan came, I believe, in August, and Opal Aaron was in August, so you know, we'll see. We'll see storms. I mean, that's for sure. The hurricanes, I feel, you know, I've said this before, all this oil spill crap, that this year's going to be the worst for the coast. You know, I told my girlfriend, I said, hey, let you know, this is a bad hurricane season. So if something happens, I'm going to be heading down there to help pick up, because I know the area like the back of my hand. And it's those people that know more about that area and know the area very well that can help more than anybody else. And, when all this happened, I thought, oh, this is just, it's just, it's going to be a double whammy. And now, you know, even Project Gulf is saying, you know, Venice is going to be extinct. Venice, Louisiana is going to be extinct because of all the stuff that's happened. It's just, it's going to become so toxic. It's already that way.
Well, there's a lot of things that are happening in that way. I mean, the only way that those local economies have been surviving for the last few weeks is because they've, you know, gone to work for BP or BP contractors. I mean, that's the only way those guys are paying their bills. I mean, you've got people that were normally going out fishing that are working for the cleanup operations. But what happens when whenever BP says, okay, well, we're done, you know, the fisheries are ruined, and regardless of what they want to say, I mean, no boat captains that I've spoken to from those areas think that it's safe to eat the fish that are being caught out of there. I mean, there's been no proper testing of the long-term health effects of what they might have absorbed in this time, you know, the ones that did make it. And, you know, I'm sure it depleted the populations of quite a few species, you know, along the coast. I mean, we still haven't been hit that hard, you know, here as they were hit in Louisiana. I mean, we had those couple of days that the beach was black for miles, and it's still there under the sand. But it's like I keep telling everybody, you know, I mean, this is just getting started. I mean, you know, that one wave we had come in a month ago that affected everybody from Louisiana to here, that's just one. You know, and it's not over by a long shot, you know, regardless of what they want to say. It's just below the surface and goes all the way to the bottom, and it's just a matter of time before it comes in, you know.
Well, all it takes is that wind from the south and pushes that current just the right way. And
well, we've been getting wind from the west-southwest for the last 2 days. Which is why I think, like I was telling you earlier, that there's so many boats up by the pass today, and why they had a couple hundred workers over in the Fort Pickens National Park today. They know that, you know, it's just a matter of time. And I know that they've been monitoring a big area just off of Grand Isle that's expected to hit them again any day now. So, you know, it's something that unfortunately we're going to have to live with for quite a while, and who knows how bad it's going to get. I mean, you know, until it happens, and, you know, who knows how much it's going to affect the entire coastline when we do get tropical systems out there, and as well as the rest of the eastern United States, whenever all these dispersants and toxins get sucked up into the clouds and pour out in the form of rain. I mean, tropical systems inherently, if they're strong systems, travel as far north as, you know, Canada, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, we just have to kind of wait and watch. I mean, I had somebody earlier ask me what my long-term plans were, and I said, what do you mean long-term?
Yeah.
And I said, I don't have any long-term plans. I live every day, day to day. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what I'm going to wake up to tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah, I asked you earlier, you know, when I talked to you, I was like, you all right? Because, you know, it's just one of those things where it's like, when you, in times of crisis, it just gets exhausting.
Well, I mean, it's like I said, you know, I mean, everything's day-to-day, and some days are better than others, and, you know, some days I feel better than others. You know, some days my chest feels heavy and my throat hurts and my nasal cavity hurts, and some days when I'm walking on the beach, it feels like I'm walking through, you know, a thick, heavy, hot fog in some places, and, you know, it is what it is, but
yeah. I wanted to get your reaction to a couple of tweets per se from VP. You know, we were talking about where all the oil is gone. This is from Jane Lubchenko from NOAA. Says NOAA scientists are deployed throughout the Gulf to determine where the oil has gone and where it will go. Okay, it gets better. This is supposed to be the head of NOAA or spokesman from. Much of the oil has dispersed or been broken down by naturally occurring bacteria. Amount of oil on the surface is less and less. Well, unfortunately, Greg, you and I both know that the core exit kills off natural oil-eating microbes. So
you're
seeing a blatant lie. So, I mean, you can't get no more black and white than that. And there was another one that says a large boom project was disassembled in Alabama as traces of oil in the region become rarer. Notice they said traces, not mentions or, you know, nothing else.
The booms are as much of a smoke and mirrors show as the beach cleanup is, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the majority of what's coming in is coming in below the surface, and
mm-hmm.
the booms are a joke. And
yeah.
It's like the, you know, and I don't mean this derogatory towards the beach cleanup workers, because the guys that are out there, you know, they are limited in what they can do by the OSHA regulations and by the regulations of the companies that employ them. And, you know, they're doing what they can do, but I live out here and I see it and I know where it's at, and they're barely scraping the surface of what's there. I mean, they're taking sifters and, you know, getting, you know, little tar balls off the surface of the sand while there's tons of it under the, you know, 2, 3, 4 feet of sand
yeah.
at this point. You
and
know,
I noticed
and it
that.
And it runs all the way from the shoreline up probably 40 to 50 feet in from the water line. And there's no getting rid of that. And
no.
You know, they couldn't do it if they had 10,000 people on this beach working. I mean, it's just, and we, and like I said, we haven't seen anything compared to what came into Grand Isle and the marshes and some of the marsh areas in Mississippi, you know, because once it gets into the bay system over here and gets all into the marshes and everything, it's game over. I mean, when it gets into the seagrass beds and the marshes and things like that, I mean, you know, once you kill the estuaries, I mean, the ecosystem is gone. And
yeah. Well, do you think it's gotten into Pensacola Bay or Scambia Bay or?
Oh, it's definitely, you know, come in. I mean, we had, I guess it was about 3 weeks ago, we had tar balls all behind my place over here on Santa Rosa Sound. But it was only for a couple of days, you know, but there again, you know, that was one wave, you know, and as we get systems out there that churn up the bottom and push the stuff in, it's just going to keep on coming in. I mean, it's not going away. It's not disappearing, you know, as some people have stated, you know, like it's some kind of magic act that millions of barrels of oil are just going to disappear.
That's definitely not going to happen anytime soon. And it's sickening to think that we're hearing all these stories of, excuse the dog barking in the background if y'all can hear that. It's sickening to me. I mean, we got to think about all of the environmental damage. All this focused on how many barrels per day, which, by the way, an internal document was released. It's, according to BP, at least 50,000 barrels per day were released.
Well, and you know damn good and well that if that's what they're admitting to, that it's way more than that.
Yeah.
You know, there were independent scientists that were monitoring it that were saying that it was at least between 100 and 150,000 barrels a day. And I tend to believe them more than I tend to believe BP, especially when they came out on the first day and said it was only 1,000. So I don't tend to believe anything released from BP, you know. And
what's
that?
What are the other residents saying besides you? What are the other locals saying? I know people, you know, the lady that works in Geronimo's Outpost on the beach down there, she relies on that tourist money, and she doesn't have a very busy store. And she's such a sweet lady. You know, how is she doing? How are they? How is everybody else on Pensacola Beach handling all of this all at the same
time?
Well,
you know, honestly, I don't talk to a whole lot of people. I mean, I just don't. I mean, I come over here a couple blocks away from my place, the Peg Legs, to eat, and everyone here knows me, and they know what I do, and nobody has a problem with it. As a matter of fact, I've had numerous people come up to me and thank me for what I'm doing, you know. I mean, everybody's just coping as best they can, you know. I mean, there's not a whole lot that we can do about it. I mean, and as far as residents in the area, like I was telling Emily, you know, most of them are as apathetic as they are everywhere else, in the United States, which is really disgusting and sickening to me because, you know, here we live right here, and people that live here don't even realize how bad it's going to get and how crucial this is and how big a disaster it really is for the entire planet and not just the Gulf. And nobody gets it. So, you know, Kendra and I were talking about that earlier today. You know, she's like, you know, Greg, why the hell is it that you and I seem to be the only ones that are standing up and yelling and screaming and, you know, being so vocal about it? And I said, I don't know. I said, it's disheartening, you know, that there aren't more people out, you know, really trying to make everybody aware of what's going on. But it's like, you know, now that the big national media attention has been going off of it, you can see the people whose hearts are really true and the people who really care about what happened and the people that ran it just for the attention, because the people that ran it just for the attention aren't reporting on it anymore. You know, I mean, whenever it was hot and heavy, people from in town were coming out here and taking pictures and videos and trying to get themselves on the news and everything else. And now that it's died down, they don't care anymore. You know, well, I haven't stopped taking my pictures and videos one single day, you know, and Saturday I spent 14 hours traveling from the pass all the way down past Santa Rosa Beach and Blue Mountain Beach. And, you know, it's not going to be over for me.
Well, it's not going to be over for the rest of us either. You know, people think, oh, I live inland, I live away, I don't have to worry about it. But in reality, when you deploy that many chemicals and that much toxic oil, et cetera, in the mix and the soup, you know, this, people think, oh, toxic rain, you know, that's a bunch of BS or it's a bunch of conspiracy theory. No, that's happening. That's happening now. And, you know, I warned my family here in Little Rock where I live. I said, you know, hey, guys, you go outside and smell a fruity substance, stay inside. You smell gas before it rains, stay inside, you know. And people are seeing their plants. I mean, not here. I haven't seen it, luckily, too much here with the systems coming in the way they have. We've been lucky. But in other places, their plants have holes in them. That it's not from bugs. You can see white spots on the leaves and where it's died in that spot. And this will affect the crops. This will affect our food supply. This will affect our water supply. So people that don't think it's going to affect them, they need to wake up right now. I mean, they don't have a choice until it's going to be too late.
Well, like I said, it's just getting started. I mean, it's not... we haven't seen anything compared to what we're going to see. And for all of those people who think that it's a big hoax and it's a big joke or whatever, you know, you can't compare this situation to the Exxon Valdez or to the Ixtoc spill in the Bay of Campeche, because both of those were in shallow water. And the Exxon Valdez was close to the coast. The Ixtoc spill was in like 200 feet of water, and it was very easy to contain. You know, this spill was in 5,000 feet of water and 50 miles offshore. It's going to take a while before we start seeing the full impact of what actually happened. So, you know, to make idiotic statements like, if it was as bad as everybody says, we'd be seeing worse. That's ridiculous, because it's going to take a little time for the worst of it to get here.
Yeah. Aloof, who joins the show every evening, he posted a comment saying on the chat that said, the plan to make it disappear in Grand Isle is called, quote-unquote, surf washing. They'll use bulldozers and push all the oiled sand and dirt back into the Gulf. They're awaiting approval, which I'm sure the U.S. Coast Guard will grant them based on everything thus far. Have you seen them do that in Pensacola or anywhere else?
Well, I mean, I've seen the, you know, you already know, I've seen the covering.
Right, the covering of the sand. But this is actually talking about old sand being pushed back into the water.
Well, they don't get that close. I mean, they're just letting the natural tide and surf action cover it up down close to the water.
Yeah.
And I've got tons of videos showing that, you know, showing the layers and layers and layers. When I've seen the erosion lines and digging into them, and as far as you want to dig into them, it just gets blacker. So, you know, it's not going anywhere. I mean, it's there.
Right.
It might be below the surface, but it's still there.
Well, out of sight, out of mind, right? I mean, that's
well, for some people,
the American mind works.
Yeah.
There was something else I wanted to ask you. Alu said there's way too much oil in Louisiana to cover up. You're probably right. You know, we still don't see the media or anybody, and we haven't been able to get pictures from Louisiana as of lately of the oil covering there at all, period.
Well, I mean, I was down there in Grand Isle, and I rode around in Barataria Bay for a couple of hours, and I didn't see a whole lot whenever I was down there. But there again, you know, I mean, they had a couple hundred boats out there that had been out there for 3 weeks cleaning up, and they hadn't had another big hit like we got a month ago.
Right.
So, I mean, there were some areas that were completely off limits, like Port Fouchon. You couldn't even go down the road to get to Port Fouchon.
They had it blocked off or what?
Yeah, they had that all blocked off, and all the beaches over there were closed, so I'm sure that they had a good bit there. And from what I understand, and you know, a lot of the inland marshes are still pretty heavily oiled. But, you know, I mean, it's you know, we're in for a long fight, you know. I mean, that's the way it is. And
yeah.
Unfortunately, it's a fairly lonely one, because as the media attention dies off and as you have governmental officials from the Coast Guard and NOAA telling everybody that they can't find any oil, then, you know, everybody's just going to forget about it until our beaches are black again. And then all of a sudden everybody's going to be like, whoa, what happened, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, it'll be a big old case if I told you so, you know. I mean, it's, you know, it's just like a couple of days ago, the Pensacola News Journal came out with an article talking about how there was oil just below the surface in Fort Pickens. And I was like, yeah, you know, you guys did everything you could to discredit me whenever I was talking about that a month ago. Now
yeah.
You want to come out and write an article about it. You know, to me, they owe me a public apology for everything that they said, because the same geologist they quoted to discredit me last week was taking a Channel 3 reporter out at night with a UV light showing him where there's oil all over the beach. Okay, so,
wow.
You know, whenever it was convenient, you didn't want to stick your necks out. You did everything you could to discredit me for telling everybody the truth, and now that it's public knowledge, you want to come out and act like a hero, and it just really agitates me.
Well, you know, with all this oil under the surface, all this oil under the sand, it never being cleaned up, do you think that ever again, maybe not in your lifetime or my lifetime or our kids' lifetime or even our grandkids' lifetime, do you think that Pensacola will ever get back, or these areas will absolutely, positively ever recover, or do you think that because of the fact of the way it's gone and the immediate cleanup, because of the fact that they haven't done anything but cover up their ass, really, do you
well,
think
there's
that
a, there's always
to get back to normal?
there's always a time period that it takes for these things to become non-volatile. I'm not sure off the top of my head how long that would be, but I don't see it happening in our lifetime.
Yeah.
So.
With things that have happened legally now, I'll kind of cover the legal issue. I don't have a lot of questions tonight, so kind of just winging it here. But legally, with the, and I know you say you can't compare it to, but when it comes to the litigation, et cetera, we have to kind of watch and learn from those kind of aspects of it. Do you think that it's going to take as long as it did, which was 21 years, for the Valdez people to get 10%? Do you think it'll take that long for the Gulf Coast residents, or do you think that
it'll
we'll be able to?
It'll take a long time. It'll take a long time. I mean, because it'll be at least 2 to 3 years before you see any demonstrable effects, you know, because the long-term effects, it takes a couple years for those to stop popping up, and the statute of limitation is 3 years, so
right.
People will have to file lawsuits prior to the three-year period to be able to get anything, and then those lawsuits could go on for years. You know, I do feel that in light of all the evidence that is out there that they knew that the blowout was imminent, that there should be immediate proceedings to indict them for negligent homicide and the deaths of the 11 people that died, because there's too much evidence that they were informed of it and that they knew it was going to happen and they kept on doing what they were doing. And there's too much evidence that shows that they were totally abandoning proper safety precautions and proper drilling protocol. And the fact that they were drilling in such deep water, they should have been going above and beyond. They should have been doing extra. And instead, they were cutting corners. And I think a message needs to be sent. But do I think it's going to happen? No, because they're a large and powerful corporation. And other large and powerful corporations are backing them and buying people that would be able to get the things done that need to be done, you know? I mean, just like they're buying the scientists, they're buying judges, they're buying lawyers, they're buying everybody, you know?
Yeah. Do you think that we'll be able to kick BP out of the country from operating in our water? They do have, I mean, by statutes, by, you know, OSHA standards, they have the most...
That's not gonna happen because... We have the majority of our government military fuel contracts with BP, so all of our guys over in Iraq and Afghanistan right now will be left high and dry.
Yeah.
How the hell we ever got in that situation, I don't know.
I mean,
how did we enter into fuel contracts to supply our military with foreign company?
That makes absolutely
no sense whatsoever to me. George Patton would have flipped his lid.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, are you kidding me? You're going to stick oil from some limeys in my tank? I don't think so. That would have been his response.
Yeah, he would have fired everybody immediately, whether he had the authority to or not.
You know.
It's
beyond ridiculous.
BP America. This will be a long. It's Bob Dudley, the new CEO. This will be a long-term restoration of the Gulf, which we're fully committed to. In my mind, if you're fully committed to the restoration, the long-term, you would have already paid the people that need the money, and you would have kept cleanup ops going instead of shutting.
They
down.
Don't have enough money. You know, isn't. There isn't a number that you can put on it. You know, there's not a number that you put on an entire ecosystem, you know.
Yeah.
And it's like I told a guy I was talking to yesterday, you know, all these animals, the whales and the dolphins and the turtles and everything else, they don't give a damn about your money. They can't use your money. and the ones that are still alive, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, money is meaningless to the Gulf of Mexico. Yeah, people that have lost their jobs and lost property values and things like that, it can help a little bit, but you can't restore what they've done. You can't undo what they've done.
And I
strongly disagree with people say that the Gulf of Mexico is such a large body of water that it's not going to have a big effect.
Right.
I beg to differ.
Well,
it's already been seen. Well, and it's already there were scientists out of Italy that have been putting out satellite images of the loop current being broken up, you know.
Yeah.
And that's dangerous. You know, that's incredibly dangerous. You know, you want to see the Europeans get a wake-up call real quick. See what happens if the loop current's disturbed and you no longer have the warm Gulf Stream going up there to warm up Europe and they go into a little ice age. Let's see how much attention they pay to it then.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. You know, the immediate impact that we've seen so far has been so minimal. And when we have seen the fish kill, or we have seen something like to that sort, it hasn't been, A, reported by mainstream media, and B, it's been so large that it's quite frankly you can't count them all. I mean, it's been millions. There's been a couple of million fish kills in a couple of places. And, you know, we've got some very, very sensitive fish in that area. You know, cigar minnows can't make it, mullet can't make it.
Well, and I mean, I've had people that have said things to me that I'm exaggerating when I say billions of creatures. Well, I'm sorry that, you know, it's got to be something, you know, cute and cuddly for you to consider it a creature. But as far as I'm concerned,
right,
the zooplankton out there that they killed is a creature as well. And
mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there have been billions killed. And if the big words hurt you, then I'm sorry. But that's the truth.
Yeah.
And, you know, just because you're not seeing flipper rolling up on the shore left and right, that doesn't mean that there's not just millions and millions of creatures being killed out there. You know,
well,
they can't breathe oil, and they can't breathe toxins, and they can't breathe Corexit.
And in the beginning of all this mess, I actually had gotten word from a reliable source, we'll call it, an extremely reliable, somebody that I would trust completely with in this disaster, that a Coast Guard source stated that he had seen 1,000 fish dead. And I'm not talking about little ones. This is way out. All right, this is
it was more than that, because Chris Pinsker told
thousand,
me about
right?
that. It was thousands of bottom-dwelling fish that were on top of the water out there near Ground Zero.
This is mammals I'm talking about.
What's that?
These are dolphins and whales and marlin and big fish. Big fish.
Yeah. Well, they found a sperm whale like a couple of weeks after the incident happened. They found a sperm whale out there. But once they started spraying the Corexit, you didn't see a whole lot of fish floating because, according to Dr. Penstich, the marine biologist that I talked to, the Corexit, its function is to go into the cells and, you know, basically disrupt the cells. And so it changes the molecular structure of, you know, biological creatures, and, you know, it causes them to sink to the bottom rather than float to the top. So that's another reason you're not seeing a lot of that. They started doing all that.
According to Dr. Odd, the Corexit actually literally fries your brain. It literally turns it into a mushy, eggy, nasty substance. That's what they saw with the dolphin that got a necropsy, and somehow the necropsy got out in public. And the necropsy was very, very mushy.
Well, and that's why they're, you know, creatures that they're not able to haul off, they're just cutting the heads off. And, you know, it's disgusting.
We'll continue to see that. Unfortunately, we won't continue to see necropsies done because, well, it's out of sight, out of mind. So unless people, we need people to wake up. I mean, I don't know how else to say it, but people need to pay attention and to learn because getting into the Kalamazoo River, getting into China, getting into everywhere, you know, dear God help China, because that stuff will never be cleaned up, ever.
Yeah.
Ever.
Well, listen, I appreciate everything you're doing, and I'm going to go ahead and cut off real quick while I still got a little bit of daylight and go do a check out here. And
all right, man.
I'll talk at you tomorrow sometime, but I appreciate everybody and appreciate all the help and support.
All right, Greg. Take care, buddy, and get some rest.
Thanks. Take care.
All right. Night. If anybody's got any questions, let me know. Greg's off the air for the evening. We've got about 14 minutes remaining. There's been a couple of things here. Luke, you did mention that the red herring population didn't come back. And I know Greg doesn't like to compare the Exxon Valdez to what's happening now. But you have to take certain increments. You have to take certain bits and pieces that we have to learn from. We have to learn. You can't say that they're identical. There's just no way. This one has happened much differently, much quicker. It's an entire different situation. But you have to take each different section. If you look at the Exxon Valdez in segments, from the time the boat crashed to the time the response to the time, et cetera, to the time the fisheries closed to now. If you look at that, you know, those licenses, the herring population, the red herring population, like you were talking about, Aloof, those licenses back in their heyday, they were worth $300,000. I'm going to repeat that figure, $300,000. That's a lot of money. Okay, these people could make quite a bit. You know, we all see the Deadliest Catch where they make tons of money on this crab fishing, but the herring business was a lucrative business. So the registration, the license, and all those things were priced so that Jim Bob down the street, you know, that didn't know what the heck he was doing, wouldn't ruin the population because of regulations and all of that. And now, towards the end of the it's never over for them, but towards the end of the BP cleanup, the 3 years later, 4 years later, something like that, you couldn't even give it away. You couldn't even give your license away. There's a story. If you have not seen Black Wave, that is a movie by and done for a documentary on Exxon Valdez incident. If you have not seen it, you need to see it, and you need to see it now. You will be astonished with what Exxon did and the long time it took them to do the certain things that they did to now, and how quickly BP is pulling all these strings and litigation. You will roll over. I promise. It's awful. Took 3 years for Exxon to leave cleanup. 3 years. It's taken BP 3 months to stop cleanup, to start stopping the cleanup operations. And I know Greg got off the phone earlier, but I actually found this on a Pensacola news site that they're removing. They have a boom removal schedule. Now, we all know that boom is not effective. However, the fact that there are scheduling the removal of boom, that this will continue. Now, eventually it'll get to where BP's not there, government's not there. They're barely not even there now, but it'll be where nobody's there. Nobody's there cleaning it up. And this will be put into the hands of residents. And this will have to be. But don't do it without getting certified. I will say that again. Don't do it without getting certified. A lot of people are getting sick now. A lot of people are getting sick and have still continued 21 years later to come down with illnesses, leukemia, rare forms of multiple sclerosis, MS, other forms of respiratory cancers, tumors, problems. So don't breathe the stuff if you don't have to. If you watch that documentary, you will see what I'm talking about. It's not that expensive. You can get it from Chelsea Green Publishing, or even Amazon, I believe, has it. So go look for it. Ricky Ott. It would come with a book of hers as well. And, yeah, and Aloof, you're right. Excuse me. Aloof said their entire cleanup strategy has been to hide it from day one. The reason why they do it, it limits their liability. They're doing a tax break for $10 billion so that we pay for $10 billion of their cleanup. Okay, they claimed a tax break on cleanup, $10 billion tax break on cleanup. Now, if they thought that this was going to get by the American people, they're wrong. One, two. If they thought it was going to get by Congress and Senator Markey, they're wrong. Markey has already called this despicable. So I'm hoping that this will continue that way. You know, we have to keep on this. We have to be the ones that keep holding them accountable. We have to be the ones that vote and, you know, if needed, vote them out of office. The people that are getting paid by big oil companies, people that are getting the money from these people that put their interests before ours. And until we do, our country is going to continue to go downhill until all those crazy people that we thought long ago were wrong were right. Markey personally can't block it, but he has, quite frankly, been the one to raise issues where they've been needed as best as a congressman can out of anybody. So between him and Al Franken and Senator Murkowski, you know, there's some hope. You know, today there was a health officer, the health and safety director for BP said his policy was not to oversee quote unquote health regulations. It was to make new, I don't know, policy. So it went from being, yes, I'm the vice president of health and safety oversight count, you know, blah, 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 BP, to, but I only make a couple of things here and there. I really don't do that much. And he didn't even feel one bit of remorse for what happened in the Gulf, to give you guys a clue. Well, yes, you're right, Aloof, only Markey can expose it because he is a member of Congress. Well, she's done a pretty good job as of lately, Aloof. She's not going to regulate, but she's kind of exposing some stuff, too. I don't think she's going to ever regulate the oil companies, but I think she's going to hold BP accountable a little bit better than, I don't know, the minority House leader. We'll need that. Everybody knows who that is. You know, we have to take it what we can. I mean, if it's a little inch by inch to get where we need to go, we'll take it inch by inch. I'd rather, you know, and I'm sure Greg feels the same way, take it in leaps and bounds. You know, right now there are people down there that need to leave. If you're pregnant, you need to leave. If you have little small kids, you need to leave. These people should have left a long time ago. If you need assistance and you are a pregnant woman, please contact Touche, touche.mobile, MOBILE, at gmail.com. Her name is Emily Harris. She's the usual host of the show. She will get you and help you get your, you know, whatever assistance that she can do for you. So she is working on that to help pregnant women get out as best as they can. If you have respiratory problems or you're prone to sickle cell anemia, you need to leave. I mean, people think, you know, we're all sitting here throwing red flags where we don't need to, but there's a reason for that. 21 years later, Ricky Ott is still getting new phone calls, not phone calls from people that she's met before, new phone calls of people just now developing sickness from their time working on the Exxon Valdez incident. So if that gives you any insight to what they sprayed, which was Inapol, which contained 2-butoxypropanethanol, which Corex 9527A does have. If this gives you any insight to what you guys have been exposed to, it was time for you to leave a long time ago. It's time for you guys to leave now. If you guys have any other issues, please feel free to email me. My email address is APM, A as in Adam, P as in Paul, M as in Mary, 0553@AOL.com. And I will assist you as best as I can. If you have any further questions, you guys need help, you guys have an issue that you would like to get covered either on the show or whatever that I can do, just let us know. If you feel that we're not doing our job, let us know. We are sure trying to. On that note, we will be back here tomorrow. We're going to try and get a guest on the show as best as we can. We're going to try to get a couple of people to come in on the show to kind of give us a little bit more information about respirators and what you really actually have to do to use them correctly to keep yourself safe. So if you want to go down there and help, it doesn't hurt to know exactly what kind of respirator you need. Thanks, Lou. You know, you're the only one that's commented tonight. Just, you know, thought I'd let you know. No phone calls, just you. So I appreciate you too, buddy. But we are trying our best and trying to keep on top of this as best we can, even if there is a media blackout or people aren't reporting. We do have... Yeah, I'll make sure I send her the email with it, Aloof. Don't worry. We're trying our best to get as much information out as best as we can, as much as possible. So, you know, you guys let us know if there is anything else you guys need or feel like you guys need to hear about or more of. Send me an email, apm0553@AOL.com. I'll be glad to help you guys out on that. Other than that, I'm going to go ahead and end the show. I know it's a little early tonight. I'm sorry. Which is quite frankly, it's just me talking, and I'm not one of those people that just like to hear themselves talk all the time. But on that note, we will see you back here tomorrow at 7:30. We are trying, programming note, to keep the 7:30 time slot. So try and plan on being here for that, and we will see you guys tomorrow. You guys all, please stay safe. Good night.